Jesus has set his face toward Jerusalem, and for the next 10 chapters in Luke's gospel, he will continue to heal and try to teach his followers about life in the kingdom of God. He is showing them things that need to change, teaching them about changing their lives, and they keep getting it wrong. Recently, I came across a blog about change written by Jim Marsden, a change consultant. And in it, he describes three kinds of change that make sense when you look at this gospel passage. There's developmental change, transitional state change, and transformational change. So what he says about developmental change is that in this kind of change, we grow by adding or developing new skills or by learning new things that will take us to where we want or need to be. We learn new things and grow, but our understanding of ourselves and the world that we are a part of has not necessarily changed. So the disciples are learning how to go out into the world and bring the good news, but they themselves have not changed, and their understanding of the world has not changed. They are still in an us and them mode, a judgmental mode. And so when the Samaritan village does not welcome them, two of them want to retaliate with violence. Their change at this point is only at the developmental level. And Jesus rebukes them. Jesus wants deeper change. He wants them to let go of the need for revenge so that they can embody the love of God. There's another kind of change, transitional state change, that's commonly used in strategic planning, and many of you have been through strategic planning processes. We assess where we are today and where we would like to be in the future, which is much clarity and specificity as possible, and we look at the gap between where we are and where we want to go. We try to close the gap. But here, too, our understanding of ourselves and the world does not change. He says, in fact, that kind of change is most successful when there are no surprises to how we see and understand ourselves and our world. So the man that says to Jesus, "I will follow you wherever you go," I think is living in this transitional state change mentality. He sees where he is and where he wants to be following Jesus, but he seems to think all he has to do is say it. He has no idea what he's committing himself to. And Jesus knows that. So he tells him, "I have nowhere to lay my head. I am on the road." Basically saying, "I am homeless. Are you ready and willing to become homeless too?" Similarly, the man that asked to go home to follow the ritual burial customs for his father, and the man who asked to go home to get permission to leave, have not changed at a deep level. They too are in that transitional change state. And to both of them, Jesus says, basically, you've not yet made the necessary changes. You are not yet ready to follow me. You see, Jesus wants us to change, but not just surface change, developmental change, or even transitional state change. The kind of change that Jesus is calling us to is transformation, a real change in the state of our being. So this is how Jim Marsden describes this kind of change. He says, transformational change occurs when our foundational understanding of ourselves and the world around us significantly shifts. Transformation occurs when we go beyond the bounds of our current understanding and awareness. We cannot think our way through this change. We have to experience our way into it. This is really important. The kind of change that Jesus is asking of all of us cannot happen just by thinking about it. It requires our whole being, not just our minds. We have to have an experience of God's love in our hearts before we can begin to share it with others. We have to have patterns in our life that put us in the path of grace. We have to put energy and intention into a new way of being. Marsden goes on to say that we often resist transformation. I think we pretty much always do, because it has a cost. It is risky. We have to let go of old ways of thinking and being. We have to be willing to step into the unknown. And only when we can let go and be open to the unknown are we ready to transform. Something we value often, part of us or a way of thinking, has to die in order for a new thing to be born. Sounds familiar, right? Death and resurrection. The disciples have to die to their wish for retribution in order to live into the call to spread the love of God. The man who would follow Jesus anywhere has to die to his romantic idea of what discipleship is and look at the reality of what it will cost him. He has to face the harshness of the path of love in an unloving world. So what does this say for us? For those of us already on the path who are living in the in-between time, in the time of waiting, in the time of mystery, between the letting go and the new arising, this gospel gives us hope. We see that we are doing the hard work that Jesus is asking of us, the hard work of letting ourselves be transformed by the love of God. This work is often very painful, yet it offers great rewards. For those of us who are at the place of decision, not yet ready to pay the full cost of this discipleship, this gospel can give us courage. We see what Jesus is asking of us, and we can pray for the courage to take the first step and let go of whatever it is that is keeping us bound. Whatever it is that is separating us from God today. Are we holding on to anger, to a wish for revenge? Are we romanticizing the life of a disciple? Are we holding on to a way of life that kills the spirit? Are we looking to others for our own worth? This gospel invites us to let all of that go and rest in the mystery of God working in our lives. Rest in the unfolding. Let ourselves be transformed by love so that our very beings are changed, so that we can offer ourselves in love and out of God's love for the healing of this world.
Amen. Amen.